This is Julie with Gopher Rent, and you are listening to Conversations with a Realtor featuring Kim Wilkin of Austin, Texas. A very dynamic realtor who has traveled the world prior to being Texas-based. And we will discuss what she did before she became a high-powered Austin realtor, as well as some professional insights. So today we here have on our Gopher Rent podcast, Kim Wilkin from Realty Austin. She's been a realtor for quite a few years, and we're going to talk to her about some of her experiences, both professionally and personally. Kim, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be part of this podcast. Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. Thank you so much. Now, we've done a little bit of digging on you, and I think it's all good. It's so exciting to hear about the places you've traveled and that you didn't maybe have a straight path from college right into real estate, that you were able to see quite a bit of Europe, and you were a ski instructor?
I was. In my 20s, I was a ski instructor in Austria, in Kitzbühel.
Kitzbühel, okay.
Instead of getting a regular job when I graduated from college, I ended up moving overseas for 5.5 years.
Wow.
I lived in London, Austria, and Northern Italy.
Did you speak German when you moved to Austria, or did you learn on the fly, or...?
I learned on the fly. I learned to speak German the way a kid does.
Okay.
And I learned to speak German the way a kid does. I asked what something was. I asked, you know, how do you say this and how do you say this? And that's how I learned it. I cannot read or write German, but at the time I was fluent.
Ausgezeichnet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wunderbar. Yeah.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar. Yeah. I took 4 years of German in high school and I remember about 10 words. So
yeah.
So I understand that. And then what brought you back to the States?
It was just time to come home.
Sure.
It was kind of time to come back to the U.S. Things were dwindling down for me, and I was ready to start a career, more significant career than being a ski instructor. And I was ready to have, you know, stop living out of my suitcase, basically. So I came back to the U.S., and I actually started a wine distributorship and built that business for 15 years. So I owned and operated a wine import and distribution business and then sold. And during that time, my family had always been small-time real estate investors. And during the time of being a wine import and distributor, I started investing in residential real estate as an investor, having long-term buy and hold rentals. And to me, I really feel that real estate is a real way to wealth. It's not likely ever to go to zero. And there's a simple saying with investing in real estate, and it's simply, you know, buy 2 a year for the next 10 years, sell the worst 10, keep the best 10, and you're done.
Sure, that's all.
So if you can just have 10, you know, just have 10 paid off rentals, and, you know, you're basically insulated from most things. Yeah, most things. You know, COVID may be different, but we don't usually have pandemics.
That's true. That's true. So if someone is investing in a rental property, do you suggest they get long-term renters, short-term renters, do it Airbnb style? What would you suggest to someone who's maybe starting off?
Sure. I actually like a combination of both. I like the diversification. Long-term rentals are typically less day-to-day maintenance. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little more passive. You have to answer the phone when they call and something is broken. But generally, tenants who are long-term look after the property. As long as you have quality properties and quality tenants and have spent the time vetting them very, very well, that's why I use you guys at Gopher Rent. And I would say short-term rentals, you have someone coming in every 2 or 3 days. So in my opinion, you're trading more time for probably a little more money unless it's a very seasonable short-term rental or Airbnb.
Okay, that makes sense. So since you started real estate, how many years has it been?
I've been doing this for a decade.
Oh, okay.
I have been a residential realtor for a decade, and I have been an investor for a little bit longer than that. And my family invested. I used to, when I was younger, go to my parents' fourplexes and have to go paint and help them fix things when tenants moved out. And my grandparents also did it. They lived in a city where they could assume loans back in the 60s, and they would assume military guys' loans. The guys would come in for 2 years, buy a house, and then my grandparents would go assume their loan while they were relocated to another city.
Oh, sure. Okay, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Is that in Alabama?
No, that was in Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Okay.
Loan assumption is really not a thing anymore. It was a long time ago, but loan assumption is not a thing anymore.
So when you started off as a realtor, were you on your own? Have you always been with Realty Austin?
I started with another company in Austin my first year, and then I moved to Realty Austin. And I've been with Realty Austin since then. I think they hung the moon. I love their culture, their innovation, their technology, everything that they provide. Their goal is to provide everything we need to be the best in the business.
Excellent. I saw they won a big Austin Business Journal award last year, Best Employer or something along those lines. It seems like it's a really good company to work for.
It's a great company. I actually don't work for them. I hold my license under them.
Okay.
So my business is still my own. I am a 1099 with Realty Austin.
Oh, that's great.
The realtors are not employees.
Okay. Best of both worlds then.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So I still build my own business, have my own marketing, have my own assistants, my own transaction coordinators. I use the accounting and strategy and marketing materials that Realty Austin does provide.
Okay. So do you have any other certifications, designations, any sort of qualities you feel that set you apart from the other agents?
Sure. I am a GRA, which is a graduate of Real Estate Institute, which is just continuing education.
Okay.
And it was four different courses that we had to take for that. I am also a certified specialist, international property specialist. And that means that I have completed courses on working with foreign investors and people moving to the U.S. I have a few lenders that work specifically, especially with Latin population.
Sure.
Since we are hugely influenced by Central and South America here in Texas.
Yes.
And I'm also a certified luxury marketing specialist, which is in the luxury field. And that has to do with how to market. It's a course on how to work with the luxury side of things, as well as how to market luxury properties. It's also a lot of these additional certifications. You are involved in an organization that is around that certification as well, which means you have connections across the country and across the world to get your property sold, or connections with other realtors in other states where we're reciprocating with clients. It also just brings it to another level. You know, when you're looking and they have these certifications, that realtor has this quality, this type of education, can handle this style of client well, and works well with international people, luxury people. Continuing education is extremely important to stay on top of things.
And you're going to have that new Tesla plant coming soon. I think you're...
We are. I'm going to have to take a course on how to drive a Tesla. I'm really excited. Austin is so innovative and so forward thinking. Even 30 years ago, when I moved to Austin originally, it's full of entrepreneurs. People want to be here. There's a lot of life that is happening here in Austin. And as a result, more industry is coming. We are developing and we're open to industry and we're open to the growth. We do have some issues with infrastructure, but beyond that, there are a million reasons to love Austin, and about two, not two. One is the infrastructure, and the second one is August, when it's 105 degrees.
Yeah, that's all over Texas though. So
mm-hmm.
At least
that's true.
You get a slightly drier heat than we do here in Houston, I would say.
Yes, we do. It's a little bit drier, yes.
Yeah, I lived in South Austin from 2000 to 2005.
Oh, cool.
In my young 20s, and it was definitely the place to be, and it's changed so much. I was out in Marble Falls last weekend, and we came back into town, drove through UT. My husband had gone to UT, so we took the kids to campus.
Hokum.
Exactly. Took them to campus on a Sunday, knew there'd be no one there, so we could walk around a little bit, look at the fountains and the tower. And it was just, wow, I really did love it here, man.
Yeah, it's a great city. It used to be a great town. Now it's a great city.
That's true. It felt more like a town when I lived there. Bush won the presidency, Lance won the tour. We went to the first Austin City Limits Festival, and it felt like we were really at the forefront of what it was just starting to become. They were just building the Frostbank Tower when we left, and it seemed like a skyscraper in 2005. It may have been open, but it was very new. And now there's, I think, two, maybe three buildings taller than that. The literal skyline has just changed so much, along with the city.
Yes, and they are continuing to grow and continuing to build. There are so many buildings downtown that are slated to be built. And I would say right now there are probably five in the process.
Oh, wow. Are any, do you think, going to be residential and condos? Is that still growing downtown?
It is still growing. We just delivered, or the different developers just delivered four different buildings downtown: the Independent, the 70 Rainy Street, the Fifth and West. And we are also building 44 East. I'm saying we as the city of Austin. I'm not involved in them personally.
Of course, yes.
44 East, there's the Nativo, which is an Airbnb building that the entire building can be used as Airbnbs.
Oh.
There's a new building, I believe, at Fifth and Guadalupe that is supposed to be something like 80 stories that is slated that's going to have residential in it. There are a couple new apartment complexes, high rises that are being built. There's just so much development and so much growth. Plus, there's the Google building coming downtown as well on Cesar Chavez, and it is a gorgeous, like a waterfall shaped building that's going to be right on Lady Bird Lake.
Oh, I'm sure they have such nice campuses. I'm sure it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, it will be beautiful. It's stunning. So it's still exciting. You know, there's still a lot of growth. It's still exciting in Austin. There's a lot going on. My understanding is we're supposed to, even the state of Texas is supposed to double in size again in the next 20 years. So that is Austin, as San Antonio, Houston, Dallas. We're not having state income tax
Yes.
and being very welcoming to business. We're getting things like Tesla.
Yes.
And that's statewide. That's, you know, there's Austin specifically, but that is statewide.
That's true. I've read that as well.
It's a good place to be.
Hey, realtors, get in front of the renters who are looking to move soon. Go4Rent offers a unique opportunity for realtors that want to make money in the fast-paced rental market. At Go4Rent, you can sign up to advertise in any MLS area and represent potential clients. Renters are searching for homes daily on GoForRent.com and will contact you to view them. Start advertising and go from chilling to showing today.
So if you were to invest in a property in a neighborhood in Austin that is up and coming, or you think will be the next big thing, where would you suggest looking at, or where would you look at?
So my crystal ball says I have absolutely no idea. But right now, I am actually under contract on another rental for myself, and I am buying up in Leander.
Oh, okay.
Leander is growing. It's between Cedar Park and Liberty Hill. It is honestly a long way from where I personally live. It's about a 40-minute drive, but there's a lot of growth up there.
Yes.
And there's going to be some lifestyle centers like the Domain. That's also at the edge of the tech corridor up there. And so I tend to buy two or three at a time, and then I wait a couple of years and buy two or three at a time. And I have three properties in Central and South Austin, and I am, and properties elsewhere. But now I am sort of looking in the Cedar Park Leander area. I'm also looking in Round Rock East. And that's just, each investor needs to buy property based on their needs.
Sure.
I have a certain criteria for me that fits my life, but it's not necessarily the criteria that fits any of my investors. I have certain investors that only want condos. I have other investors that only want large lots, just in case that they can convert that lot to a duplex. I have investors that only want homes that will fit a family. And so everybody is different. I have clients that want a class A style property, a more high-end style property. I have clients that want, you know, more rustic, lower rents, higher cash flow type properties. I have some that want single family homes and some that want fourplexes. So it's just dependent on their personal style. And my job is to find out what type of property they want and guide them to the right area and the right, not necessarily the right area, but the right type of property based on their desired goals.
Okay. Are you getting any more requests, maybe specifically from, you know, the California people? Anybody interested in sustainable living, green homes?
Yes, there are people interested in green homes and more sustainable living. I'm getting more and more people asking about solar panels, simple things like that. But that has not been the biggest draw to Austin for me.
Yeah. Smart homes, new tech integrated in homes, are those things people are asking for?
That's very, very common now.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very common to ask for Nest and, you know, tech driven. And, you know, a lot of my clients now basically have their entire house on their phone.
True. So would that be something you might recommend to landlords who are trying to lease their property? Is that, are there some easy things they could add to the property to kind of pump up their listing, make it look fresh?
The biggest thing is to maintain the property, in my opinion. Freshen up the colors, freshen up the cabinets, freshen up the flooring, and keep it updated. Because if you have a rundown property, you're likely going to get a rundown tenant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep a nice property and you stay on point with your tenants, you're likely to have a really good relationship. Typically, what I do when I'm vetting a tenant is not only do I have everything go through you guys, but my goal is to reach out to those potential tenants and have a conversation with them. Ask who they are, find out what their goals are, find out who, you know, what's going on in their lives, not just find out who they are on paper. And you can overcome difficulties or overcome small little things that they might not, you might not know about simply by having a conversation with them. If you are not sure about a pet, I recommend to my landlords to have a pet interview, which means literally meeting the tenant and the pet.
Oh, that's a great idea.
At a dog park or something like that, just so you can get a feel of what the dog is like. You can overcome some of the difficulties with quote-unquote aggressive breeds because, for example, if they have a mutt that they got at the pound, it's likely going to look like a pit bull. And a lot of times they're the sweetest dogs out there, but you need to, just based on a photograph, you're not going to be able to make an educated decision.
Right. It's up to the pet parents and how they raise the animal, what how they're going to treat other people, for sure.
Yeah. And I do recommend to my landlords to find a reason to have a conversation or to have a pet interview or something like that with those tenants prior to moving in. It doesn't have to be it can be 15 minutes, but it's worth spending 15 minutes with your potential tenant because they're going to be your tenant for a year or more.
Right. So when you were starting out, perhaps you might have made a mistake or two here and there.
Lots.
Okay. If you could go back and advise yourself or someone new starting out in real estate, what would you say to them to help smooth the road, or yourself? If you could tell yourself to do something differently or try something sooner, what might you say?
I would just say stick with it and know that it will be okay in the end, you know, with rental properties, also with being a realtor in general. There's a long ramp up. It's a long game. Real estate is a long game, and you have to be in it for the long game, not the short term. The short term is when you get in trouble, both emotionally and financially. And as a long game, it works out really, really well. As a realtor, you build a clientele, you build relationships, always do the right thing, always take care of your clients. Always, legally, you have to put their needs first, and you just put them first, and then they will look after you in the end. As far as rental properties, you know, I take good care of my tenants, and I take good care of my landlords. As a result, landlords bring me more properties. We go out and buy more, and then I list them for them, and most of my landlords manage them themselves. And as far as my tenants are concerned, I take good care of my tenants, and they take good care of my properties and pay rent on time. So just stick with it.
Okay.
The long game.
So who do you prefer working with? Buyers, renters, sellers, landlords?
My business is balanced between, I would say, 50-50 between sellers and buyers. I do not work with tenants specifically. I do work with the landlords that have the rental properties. That I have a handful of landlords that have multiple properties, and I help them.
Okay.
But it's a very, very balanced business, which is really nice. It's nice to have a balanced business that keeps me on my toes and keeps me involved in all aspects of the business.
Do you think it's a buyer's market or seller's market right now?
In Austin, it is still a seller's market. Currently, we have very little inventory. The builders can't keep up. Central Austin there's a lot of infill and new construction, and it is definitely a seller's market because people are still moving to Austin and still moving to Texas, and they still need a place to live, and we cannot build fast enough.
Well, I mean, that's a good problem to have, I guess. So,
yes, relatively. Unfortunately, for some of my first-time home buyers, they end up in multiple offers on every house,
of course,
that they're after. So you really have to be strategic and how you present your offer to a seller. You want to protect your buyer, but you've also got to put your best foot forward.
Well, it makes sense that Cedar Park and Leander, Kyle and Buda, mm-hmm. Pflugerville, Hutto, it makes sense that those places are growing and expanding. At least the one thing we're not going to run out of in Texas is room.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Lots of space.
It's pretty easy to go east in Austin, but it's not very easy to go west. East of Austin is flat, and there's more flat land, pasture land to build new neighborhoods.
Manor, Elgin, out that way.
Mm-hmm. You head west and you head into the hill country, and it's a little more challenging to build out there.
I thought I heard somebody say, and I don't know if you know this, but they were looking to build a pool. They lived in Cedar Park, and mm-hmm. they said it was going to be $10,000 per foot to dig down because there was granite in their backyard under the dirt. Have you ever heard of anything like that? Extra costs in building pools or just houses in general out that way?
I have not.
Okay.
No.
So they did not get the pool. So
no, I'm not surprised. You know, the land, the dirt that we have around here is very volatile. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not surprised that there are extra costs with digging down. In Austin, we don't have basements.
Right.
Because our dirt is so volatile. And most homes will shift over the lifetime of the home. And there's a lot of foundation concerns and foundation repairs on homes. I currently have 6 homes in Texas, and 2 out of the 6 have had foundation repair work.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, that's a third.
That's significant. Yeah. Well, we don't have basements in Houston because it would turn into a swamp. We have the opposite problem. I think you just hit water if you dig down. So. Mm-hmm. What are some of your long-term professional goals?
My long-term professional goals in real estate is to maintain my business. I would like to see some growth out of my real estate business. I would like to see another 30% over the next couple of years in my realtor business. And currently I have 7 rental properties, and I would, in the next 10 years, I would like to have around 15. And my goal is to have all those rentals paid off.
Wow. Well, yep, you have to get to 20 and then get rid of your worst 10, right?
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
Those are my primary real estate goals. You know, I became a realtor because I believed in real estate, and I've built businesses previously, and that's why I became a realtor. It was a very easy decision.
And do your lucky clients get a nice bottle of wine or a wine recommendation? Do you have any kind of special closing gifts you give to people? What's your take on that?
My clients get champagne. They get some goodies from Lowe's and Home Depot. They get flowers. And they get loved on for the rest of their lives.
Oh,
well, I'm not a transactional realtor. You know, it's definitely building a relationship, and I'm in it for the long haul. I also have some fun, silly referral contests where they win prizes. And for those referral contests, I'll do some silly videos. Since I do a lot of video, I've done The Bachelorette, and I have done Survivor and stuff like that for referral contests. So just being silly and keeping it light. I'm a professional, but I also like to have fun.
Well, I want to be a Kim Wilkin client. That sounds good to me.
It's a lot of fun.
Close leases faster with Go4Rent. Applicants complete an online lease application, upload supporting docs, and pay their application fee. Go4Rent then sends you a notification of a new application. Go4Rent provides instant credit, criminal, and evictions reports, and also verifies the applicant's current employment and rental payment history. It's a free service for realtors and landlords. Sign up today at goforrent.com and start closing leases faster.
So, Kim, what are the three most important things in your life?
Travel, my friends, and Austin.
Aww. So you recently took a little trip. I know we're sort of border closed at the moment. Where's some place you would recommend someone to visit, maybe here within the States?
I just went to the San Juan Islands outside of Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And it was gorgeous. It was on the Canadian border, and they were beautiful. The weather was great. It was 55 to 80 degrees. And I island hopped for a week, and it was beautiful. We hiked, kayaked, ate delicious Northwest seafood, salmon and halibut and oysters and crab.
Did you try the gooey duck?
I did not.
Have you seen gooey duck?
Uh-uh. What is that?
Oh, it's kind of like a mussel, but it lives in the sand. You uh-huh. find these little air bubbles, and they pull them up, and they look like a huge sea slug.
Oh.
And I lived in Redmond when I was a little kid, and it was a local delicacy that I'd never tried either.
Well, no one told me about gooey ducks, or I would have tried them.
I think you're all right. I think you'll be okay. All right. Well, I mean, I think we've gone over everything. Is there anything else you wanted to kind of work into the conversation here?
Come to Austin. It's a great place to be.
Yes.
And if you know, in general, if you have any real estate questions, you're welcome to reach out to me. I'm happy to share my thoughts, the data that I have, and I would love to take care of anyone that wants to buy or sell in Austin.
Of course.
And thanks so much for the opportunity. It's super fun.
Of course. Thanks for working with us.
Absolutely.
Send some more leases our way.
I've got one right now.
Oh, great.
I've got apps with y'all right now.
Okay.
That's the only thing I have going. And then in September, it'll be my new rental.
Oh, okay. Well, good, good.
Yay.
We'll be happy to help you with that too.
There were a lot of renewals this year for my landlords. A lot of renewals.
Yeah. We're renewing our lease. I don't want to deal with moving.
I don't think anybody does.
People in and out of my house that I don't know, huffing and puffing as they drag my furniture. Forget it. I'm renewing for another year. I'm not dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Better the devil you know. Our place is fine. So.
Yep. That's right. All right. Well, great to chat with you. Thanks for your time. And I will just let me know how else I can help.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
This is Julie with Go4Rent, and you were listening to Conversations with a Realtor featuring Kim Wilkin of Austin, Texas.